Okay, I would like to call to order the October 5th Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. Is there any public input?
There is not.
Okay, if not, we need to go into executive session.
Motion to go into executive session to talk about personnel.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, it's unanimous. Okay, so we are out of executive session, and we are looking forward to hearing Steve's exciting presentation on our Series 2023 bonds.
So in the memo, I kind of just try to summarize what we were going to talk about tonight. We've got five different scenarios that we ran through. We can, after our retreat on the 14th, we wanted to look at some different ordering and different financing options. So we've got scenario one is doing the office first and the treatment plant, kind of proceeding on the schedule we're already on. Option two and three both involve just doing the treatment plant and not doing an administrative building or a shop. And then scenario four and five, we flip the order and we try to do the treatment plant first and then the building and shop after. In discussions with Sam and Andy and talking about the timeline for the treatment plant, we realized we couldn't get it online by peak of 2027. It would have been too much of a push between design, bidding, and doing it well. So we decided that peak 28 would be the goal. No need to have the treatment plant come on in the middle of winter. So that's why all the treatment plant scenarios start with borrowing in the beginning of 2026, because that's as fast as we would get to needing to borrow, no matter what we wanted to do with the treatment plant. The other thing I've done in these is extended out all of the forecasts on rates and finances through 2029. The reason is in any scenario, 2029 is what I would refer to as our high water mark. That'll be the highest debt service mark, because after that point, some other debt starts to fall off. And so we're in a better position. So if we can basically, if we can get through 2029, we're good. But that was kind of missing when we talked before. I was only running scenarios through 2028. So that's why I've added that. So for scenario one, we borrow, as Brian Baker mentioned, the direct placement right now. We would, the rate increases to be able to meet ratio and fund everything are the lines at the bottom, 88778. That gets us through 2029, as I mentioned, the key year. Of the $18 million, we plan on using $17 million for the building, $1 million for plant design to start design work 2024 of 2025 to prep everything, make sure we've got a good bid in place, and then borrow the money in 2026 to start the real work. If you read through all of the memo, this is the scenario the board, well, not the board, sorry, the district staff is recommending, because it completes both projects in the most timely manner. Basically, we'd have the building done before we started the treatment plant. If we try to do the treatment plant first and put the building off, we're probably not done with the building until 2030, and who knows what the costs are, kind of thing. There are several other reasons at the end of the memo, you know, about growth, and we haven't expanded space. You know, the area, the kitchen area, we're going to make that so a lock-off so the public could use it. And a key is also that maintenance shop, being able to get equipment indoors and out of the elements, where a lot of our equipment we feel isn't always functional when we need it to be or wears out faster because it's not not undercover. Now, in every scenario that you'll see, the total operating expenses are the same. So there's no bias created by saying expenses be higher or lower. This also assumes that in any of these scenarios, we wouldn't wheel our water to Park City to have them treat it and keep it back, because we think we can make it through 26 and 27 with the water reading back from some of the water. And by 2028, our own treatment plant will be online, so there'd be no need. So that's why the expense line is So if you look at that 2029 year, it's a lot of data, but let's just focus on that. For scenario one, basically we have to hit that $19 million revenue mark. Our expenses would be $12.6 million. Then you've got all of our other revenues that would come in. And then scroll down a little bit if you don't
mind.
It's
a pretty big increase in revenue from 13 to 19. That's 50% almost.
Yeah, and that's what that scenario one. If we want to go back up to the rate sheet, Chris. So those 8, 8, 7 along the bottom basically cumulatively equal a 55% rate increase. So people's bill from what they're paying this year to 2029 would go up by half again. So if you're paying a $100 bill, an easy way to think about it is your bill would be $150 in 2029. You know, these rate increases from a lot of what we're seeing are not out of the range of what we're seeing on a lot of utility type rate increases from Dominion Energy, from other utilities, from other cities, water providers and things like that. So that's scenario one. Scenario two is the scenario where if we can stop doing the building and shop, which there's some questions because of, you know, would we want to do that? We've already invested probably $4.5 million. We committed that much between buying the land, contracting with the architects, contracting with the county to put in infrastructure and contacting with Oakland to at least get us going on the construction. But if we did this, we'd borrow the money in 2026. We wouldn't postpone. We wouldn't capitalize the interest. We'd start making the interest payments when we borrowed the money in 2026. So what you see is we'd actually have to have higher rate increases in 25 and 26 because that first interest payment on that $28 million would come due in 2026. So we kind of have to ramp up really quick.
And it's more of a borrow.
And it's more of a borrow.
It's a
bigger nut to cover. So the interest is more expensive. So even just doing the treatment plant, we'd still be looking at a 44.3% rate increase. So your $100 bill still becomes $144. The scenario three walks us through trying to do the treatment plant and just push it out as only doing the treatment plant and pushing it out as far as we can. So we'd still borrow in 2026, but we capitalize interest for 3 years. So our first payment on it wouldn't be due until 2029. But basically to get there, we'd still have to do 8, 6, 6, 6, 7, just so that we're in the place to be able to make that payment in 2029. Because it's going to be a bigger payment, can be rolled interest, more interest into it, that first payment. So again, you're looking at about a 46% rate increase, trying to do the treatment plant and push it as far, the financing of it out as far as we can.
That's kind of hard to understand that we're borrowing a fair amount less, because in scenario one, we borrow for both. We borrow the 28 and the 17 for what, 45?
Yeah.
Right? And it takes 55%, but if we borrow 28, it still takes 45, 50.
Part of it is the interest only. Part of it is getting it in and starting to pay on it. And then also the rate increase, if you put a rate increase more at the beginning, it means more because then you're building off a bigger, it compounds. Yeah. Exactly. This one,
so that's when the rate increase doesn't happen until when?
Well, the rate increase
is going to have a rate
happen all along, so right, that they're smoothed in.
It's 8.
We could do 8 and then like 4, 4, 4, 4, but then in 2029, it'd be like 20%. So this is just try to smooth it in as best I could, given the scenario. And probably going down to, if you could go down just below that, this will probably help explain that. If we, a little bit more. Okay, so that line that says expected revenue issuance of $28 million for 20 years, the $1.5 million.
I'm not seeing that.
This number?
This one.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the payment in that year. So we have to get... sorry, Chris.
So this is scenario three. And that's going to... It's like one of the jumbo loans.
Yeah.
Right?
Where you're pushing everything.
And when that costs money.
Yeah, it costs money to... to buy time costs money. Uh-huh. And so we still have to have, our revenue still has to have grown to 18 million plus to be able to make that payment. In the scenario one, we have to grow into 19 million plus because, yeah, we're borrowing more, but it's still, that's how the numbers play out.
When's our first interest payment in scenario one?
Chris, do you mind popping back to scenario one? Oh, perfect. So we make our first interest payment next year because we borrow the money at the end of this year. So
I like that philosophy better. I would do a jumbo.
Yeah, and so
that's
okay. So that's where it kind of builds. Then you can see the 1.5 is still the same, but we've added the 902. So that's why revenue has to be about $1 million more by 2029 as well to make that payment, to be able to make both of them. Let's see, scenario four, flipping the order actually, to your point, Mike, gets more expensive because we borrowed a bigger piece sooner. So even though we're borrowing the same amount of money, the timing on them makes it so that it's more expensive because we're borrowing the 28 million first. I'm borrowing the 18 million, hoping it would still be only 18 million in 2028 later. But the 57% you see there is actually higher than scenario one. And scenario five is the same. That was where, should we do the treatment plant first? But financially, if we're going to do both of them, it doesn't make sense to wait to do the treatment plant and then do the, try to do building after. We're actually financially better, or our rate increases to our customers are less, getting the building kind of out of the way and done and then doing the treatment plant.
So it's only 2% more overall.
Yeah.
And is there some risk mitigation by borrowing the larger sum first, like locking in potentially costs not going up in the future?
One of the reasons we wanted to borrow the building money first and do a direct replacement is that that is callable at any time, so we can basically refinance that.
Okay.
And interest rates, what you read from the reserve is that they'll keep them. They might go up a little bit, but by the end of next year, they think they'll come down 0.5% again.
Okay.
And kind of start to come down. So a scenario we would love to play out is we borrow this money on the building now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time we're going to borrow for the treatment plant, interest rates are actually lower, and we roll this all into one because then we have a lower borrowing cost overall. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That's the advantage of the private placement.
That's the advantage of the private placement right now, because it's a, as Brian Baker would say, it's a bad time to borrow because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So leaving yourself options is good. So that's why I do the private placement, that we can refinance whenever we want, whether it's 2 years when we're doing the treatment plan or 4 or 5 when interest rates where we can really see a nice savings or something. So, and scenario five is similar. And that's why it's interesting when you push out to 2029, basically in 2029, we've got to come up with the same amount of money no matter what. And so then it's just, why wouldn't we kind of go on a path where we're already committed and just get it done as fast as we could?
Wait, were you talking about scenario five?
Yeah, scenario five.
This is four.
Next one over.
Yeah, so scenario five, the difference is we capitalize interest, so we push interest out again. So it doesn't matter too much because, again, by 2029, we pushed everything as far as we can. And in that year, we've got to have enough revenue to cover all that debt, no matter which scenario we go under. It is lower if we don't do the building, but shop, but not, no, I mean, it's matters of degree, but not significantly. There wasn't as much savings as one may have thought, let's say, it's not doing them both.
Especially not with the risk of what costs are going to be in 5 years.
Yeah. And some of the kind of momentum we already have on it to come up, kind of mothball the building and shop for 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, how many costs are we going to incur again, let's say, or what kind of costs are we still going to incur over that time?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for doing this. I think it really gives us a good foundation for you know, out for the rate increase.
Yeah, I think it shows that we've done our due diligence, mm-hmm. that you guys have done what you should have as a board. I mean, obviously they're forecasts, but I've really tried to look at all the scenarios and see what's been going on.
Yeah, thank you.
So are there any, and then besides these, there's been some discussion about, so this has the rate increases going across bays and tiers equally. But as we get through for 2024, I still recommend 8% across the board, every tier, every base. But we do have some scenarios where we could look at pushing it into higher tiers. So I started to work the model with some usage assumptions and trying to keep, scroll up just a little bit, Chris, trying to keep the base increase at 5%. So for those smaller users and push it down into the other tiers so you can see higher increases in the higher tiers. So to go back up, that just makes it a little less expensive on the base and the small users and pushes conservation message harder. So that was one scenario. The other one I started to run was where we eliminate, if you kind of look out here, that we don't have tiers above 60,000, basically 60,000, and then anything above 60,000 becomes the same charge. This is similar to Park City's model. They don't go all the way up to 100. They stop at 60, and then it's whatever from there on out. So these are a couple of scenarios that I want to flush them out more after next year's usage, but ways we could get there. It doesn't have, we need an increase in revenue. Like we did last year with our rate increase. I don't necessarily care how we get there, but if we want to get there doing this, that makes sense. Or if we want to do it flat across the board all along, we can. There are options.
In your crystal ball, in your gut check, when you increase the rates on those really high users, does it equal a net zero revenue because they start conserving more do they try to keep their bill the same?
No.
Okay.
We push some people out. Some people don't seem to move no matter what.
Okay.
So, but some people do move.
But on the grand scheme of things, is it a net zero or is it a net positive revenue when you do something like
this? I try to make it play out so it's a net zero, I guess, mm-hmm. if you're asking me. Like, if I need to hit 15 million, I'm going to make sure I'm going to hit 15 million. Mm-hmm. But what I get from usage and base differs depending on which lever we pull.
Were you asking about just the users over 60?
Yeah.
I guess the question could
come
be
out positive.
The question could be posed to any one of those tiers. But yeah, if you take everybody over 60 and you say, okay, by 2029, your rate is 70. Is usage going to come down such that the net revenue coming in from that tier group
just from above 60
is equal to what it is today plus inflation?
It'd be close.
Okay.
But because it'd be harder for some of the people who were in that 60 to 80 to get out of it, because some people would come all the way from 100, mm-hmm. but still end up in the 60 to 80.
But you're still selling less water.
But I'm still selling less water. But the 70 and the 60 is higher amongst than what just increasing each tier is. Mm-hmm. So the people who do stay there would pay more. So I would still get $15 million, but it would probably be fewer people here paying a lot mm-hmm. and more people kind of getting a more moderate rate increase mm-hmm. here. I think this is ultimately where we will go. It's just, we've had some really weird usage years, so I want one more year to get some data mm-hmm. and see if I can see better trends. Because we had 2020 really high, 21 kind of average, 2022 we intentionally drove low, mm-hmm. but revenue stayed where we wanted it because we knew we were going to drive some people out of the high tier with our drought rates, and it did, but our overall revenue stayed the same.
Yeah, so I guess.
So that's why I'm following that model.
I guess that's the question, like is the number of water dollars out there? Is it a finite number of water dollars? It's just a matter of how you get them.
Because as I mentioned, there are some people who will pay no matter what.
Right.
But I don't know exactly how many more I will push out. Mm-hmm. If it stays about 2022, let's say the push out amount, then these should work. If we see more conservation and more people changing over, then we may not be able to be that aggressive with keeping the lower tiers lower. We may have to make base 6 or 7 and the first tier 10 or something like that. So that's where being able to play with the model as with different usage scenarios. But I really, that's what I'm advocating for 2024. Just go straight across the board. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. See if some of this, this year is a hard read too, because we lost half of June because of late warm up, and we lost half of September because of early cool down and rain. So revenue for this year is not a really good predictor. July and August were, but the rest of kind of the season wasn't. So
the other thing we can look at too is the amount of gallons available in each tier. We go 0 to 5,000, but then the next bracket is a 10,000 gallon from 10,001 or 5,001. I can't see it because it's over to the left. But I mean, that's 15,000. That's, you know, we can shrink those ranges down.
Mm, yeah. Like if we want to go 5 to 10 and then have a bigger increase for the 10 to 20 or kind of draw a more exact line at indoor versus outdoor usage.
Right.
I feel like the 0 to 5 though is more like a condo where, and I feel uncomfortable penalizing what I feel like it's your single family, regular homeowner. I don't feel bad at all about penalizing somebody that's using over 60,000 gallons because that really means they should have paid a higher impact fee. You know, so that's yes. our way of getting our impact fees back. So
yes.
That drives the tiers.
Yeah, those tiers, maybe there's some room there, but
you're splitting that.
Yeah, I don't want to penalize average single family homeowner.
Yeah, the people that are trying to conserve.
Yeah. 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 And right. So that's where kind of what we did with the drop rates in 2022. Mm-hmm. We didn't touch anything below 30,000. Those mm-hmm. stayed the same. We only increased rates above 30,000 gallons per month. And that did the trick. So yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's a little quick to try to define that right now, but by 2025, we'll have that. We'll have some scenarios for how we want to do that 8%.
Let's say. They're always going to be those users.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some.
They don't care.
But there can't be more than a couple dozen of them, right?
Yeah, but a couple dozen paying $15,000 a month can add up really quick.
Yeah.
So.
We got a lot of them to conserve, though, last year. And, you know, I mean, so.
I like your plan. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
And get some more data. And
yeah. And yeah. 8%. So when we look at the 20, what we have to do for 2025, right now we're progressing. It's 8% we're projecting. So it's really an 8% increase in revenue. So how do we want to get there? How much from base? How much from these higher tiers? And then I can play with that number a lot. But I would have, yeah, I'm trying to guess that for 2024. I don't want to do it. So. I guess right in 2022. I don't want to guess again in 2024. Let's see. So,
yeah, and frankly, I think I'd personally prefer to see the rates go up rather than the base usage go up. But
yeah, I think that's kind of the feeling. It's just hard to run too many variables all at once. Let's say not with enough data. What did drought do? Is our usage really going to stay this low? Drought kept low usage low. 2023, because of weather, has kept usage low. Is that going to sustain? If that's going to sustain, then I have to build the model based on that.
And with growing population, we have a finite resource, right? Like we have kind of a cap with water. So we should be moving toward conservation. And what you're proposing, I think, kind of indirectly gets us there.
And that way, if it takes us an extra year or two to get the treatment plant going, you know, maybe we will have.
We might look at that at the end of 2024 and say,
man, that's a great silver mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Push that peak off.
It will alleviate our risk of potentially getting too close to that boundary of.
Yeah. I think we can get past 2029. I think we're okay. Mm-hmm. It's just that's where all of our loan, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I like that.
If 2029 becomes 2030,
the pandemic keeps staying alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some things we'll probably want to do at the treatment plant interim, some safety stuff and things like that. That's what you talked about, but they wouldn't be the full price. I mean, down at some point, we'll have to do the treatment plant for build out, but yeah, a couple of years ago, I lost the argument of if and what I decided it wasn't an if, it's a when now. And then I started working more towards the when with Sam, like, and that's where like the, and Andy, the 2028 peak season became the, when is the earliest and when would be the earliest we would need it. And that kind of was that answer, but it may very well not be that summer that we're really pushed for water.
Yeah.
Given conservation.
It sounds like this is the district recommendation. So this is the whole team is in agreement on scenario one.
I hope so. As long as Andy and Lisa both say so, I think that I'm okay.
Yeah, I am 100%.
And Lisa and Sam too?
Yeah, no, I think Andy and Steve did a really nice job.
Thanks, Sam.
Lisa may still be bracing through the echo.
Oh, yeah. So you don't need the answer.
No, I'm here. So I agree. I think we need to move forward with the treatment or with the building. The treatment plant with only the 10% design, you know, or 28 million, that might not be the number, you know, that might be something very different when we get there. And I think we can't just think, like Steve mentioned, we can't just think about it like source. We also have to think about it as the resiliency and redundancy piece. So, you know, it obviously, if our usage is going down, that gives us more resiliency and redundancy. So anyway, just in safety things to consider. So, I think it's a good time to continue to move forward with that design, but I think we'll learn a lot more when we get further along that path. And, you know, 5 years or 6 years is a really long time to look out that far. It's really hard to say what's going to happen between now and then. And there'll be a lot of things that we have not predicted in here. So, but this is a good place to start, I think, and a good place to kind of visualize where we see our customers going with rates and where we see our capital projects headed. And I think we have a good foundation to make some decisions moving forward.
What I'm hearing in there is that we don't have our design done yet, so we obviously don't have a solid bid. So the 28 million is a risk. That number could go up or down.
Yes, but there is a way to mitigate that risk in that if the treatment plant comes back double that, let's say, then what we could do is just do the resiliency safety stuff that we need to do at the treatment plant and wheel our water to Park City, have them treat it and send it back to us. Right now, financially, they're pretty close. So let's control our own fate, have our own water. But if that treatment plant number is too high, it's not like, oh no, what do? We have a backup plan. We have a plan B using Park City at least for a while, which would get us out longer as long as we kind of do some interim steps that I know Sam would advocate for. And I think are probably needed to just, you know, tighten up some things at the treatment plant for sure. But we wouldn't have to go all in for the 56 million, let's say, if that happened.
Okay.
Because there's a plan B.
Okay.
And there's even a plan C. Steve, Lisa, and I met with a representative of the USDA last week to find out if there's any government money. We're trying to provide as much data as we can to see if we would qualify for some 40-year money as opposed to 20-year money. The interest rate would be a little favorable. There would be strings that would be attached to that government money, but we're exploring all different kind of options.
Right on.
What kind of strings? We have to keep drinking milk for the next 40 years?
Yeah, skim milk.
Skim. It's a lot of buy American. You have to just make sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe a potential cost motion.
Yes. Do we need to make a motion to move forward? Does anyone want to make a motion to move forward?
All right. I move to continue forward with the public hearing on the issuance of Series 2023 bonds to construct the district's new administrative office and maintenance facility on Lot 5 of the F.J. Gilmore subdivision. Second that. That was way harder to read than it should have been. Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do we also need to clarify that maybe that we're currently behind scenario one?
I don't think so. As long as we have that piece, then we can
scenario one was the only with 2023 box, wasn't it?
That's true. So it is scenario one. So you're basically back in
self-selecting.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. I want Dave to come back and.
I do have something that doesn't have to be signed, but at the retreat.
We will have to have a public hearing for the 8% rate increase for 2024, which we're planning for November with the IFA and the impact fee analysis rates.
Yeah, that's part of the.
Yeah, those dates were provided.
Yeah.
So that was unanimous?
Yes, it was unanimous.
Okay.
Anyway, there is a document for you all to sign before you leave. It's actually one you should have. We should have had you sign on the 14th to just kind of go to the county. We all agreed to it. We just forgot to pass the paper around.
Okay.
What does it say?
It's just the during the retreat, you said to go ahead and go to the county and see if they would approve us seeing if we could borrow. And the county said we could because you had said you supported that thought. So it's not committing anything more than what we've already done. It's just kind of getting everything in line. Basically, when we went to the county, they said, where's your document from September 14th? And we said, let us get that to you. It was just the recommendation to go.
Is that here?
Yeah, I've got it here. Andy's digitally signed it. And Dave was going to be here tonight, but he's got the flu. But we'll just pass that around after Andy's done.
Okay,
the next one on the Fulkland construction contract or moving forward with that. Is that a recommendation to the county council, or this is just an approval to move forward with that to the district?
I mean, the board approved it back in March. This is just, we have not been able to get a signed document with Oakland for various reasons. And I wanted to make sure that we had the go ahead on the funding to enter contract with Oakland to be our CMGC.
Okay, so it's just a recommendation, or it's just approval to you.
Yes, and I can't remember whose name is on the document as the authorized signer. So,
was it the document from March then?
No, it's the contract is.
This is the contract. Been working out with Oakland.
Yeah.
Correct.
Is it with the county or?
I want to say that I signed something earlier this week with Oakland. Hold on, that would have been in my.
That Karen was for CRSA.
Oh, that was
CRSA's. Yeah, CRSA's budget or payment is based on the cost of the building, and so it's. Because Oakland's come in around $18 million.
Oh, yeah. So that was CRSA.
Yeah.
Or do we need to know who's on the contract? Can we just make a vote?
It is me. It would be authorizing me to sign this.
Okay, so motion for approval to reaffirm the Administrative Control Board's decision from March 16, 2023 to enter into an agreement with Oakland Construction Company, Inc. as construction manager, general contractor for the district's new administrative office and maintenance facility on Lot 5 of the F.J. Gilmore subdivision per the contract in the name of for being formalized by Andy Carlson.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous. Okay, do we have anything else to cover tonight?
Yeah, I have a few things.
Okay.
Wait. Don't we have to have items on the agenda to discuss?
No. Only to take action.
Oh, yeah. Only for action. Okay. Yeah, go ahead,
Joel. I want to make sure that if we can reduce any debt that we have, because some of these numbers are pretty big. I mean, they're pretty big. And I think we should look at alternatives of, and I'll just give you an example. I'm not saying this is a lead pipe cinch, but, do we have enough land that like to, rent out some space? I just make something up, like trucks. I'm trying to reduce our debt to make it a lot easier for us to meet our objectives. And I think we should also be looking at trying to save wherever we can. I happen to agree, or my opinion is that the people at the higher levels, I hate to be so blunt, but they'll pay anything. I mean, they'll pay anything. I'm not saying we should gouge them, but by the same token, it really gets back to the whole issue of debt. And I mean, can we sell assets? Can we, can we do anything to do that? Yeah. Yeah.
Can I comment on that?
Please.
So our goal is to sell the commercial condo that we have, the opposite side of where I believe you're sitting tonight. We have an appraisal. We received an appraisal back in March of $1.3 million, $1,350,000 from Chris Hansen. Our goal would be to sign that or to sell that. We've already reduced the proposed office space by 2,500 square feet. So we're trying to we're conscious about we're spending other people's money. We understand that. But we think because the district has so many vehicles and things like that, we need to protect them and make them last as long as possible. Our budget this year is not going to be full of, you know, many, many new projects. But unfortunately, parts of the system do require attention from time to time. And we really don't have any other assets that we could liquidate in order to come up with enough cash to make a huge impact on reducing the cost of the building. As Steve mentioned, the way we hope to get the building designed is the conference room kitchen area would be a lock off. So if we ever wanted to rent that out or let other people use it, it would be nominal income. But we are trying to consider as many things. Lisa is out working, trying to find grants for the conservation garden. And if we have to totally cut the conservation garden out and just do minimum landscaping to save money, we will do that and just build that out over time. But we're really trying to be frugal. I know maybe the pictures make our office look a little ostentatious, but we're really trying to be cost conscious about light fixtures and things like that because we know these are ratepayers' funds that we're using.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking questions.
Yep.
I know you guys are trying to save money, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. But I'm just asking the questions. That's all.
No, you're fair. That's fair.
Okay. That's all I have.
Yeah, I feel like I was reading just yesterday that the county is not building their building over in this space. Like, would the county, do we have any extra space, you know, in the short term that the county might rent out, you know, while they're waiting for their building to be built or, right? It's not, I mean, you know,
yeah,
we're probably
yeah.
not going to put a child care center in there or Recycle Utah, yeah. but, you know, there might be an opportunity if we have excess office space.
And the other thing, too, is, as we, as the district, have used other people's spaces, the sewer district and the rec district, they've never charged us, so there would be a reciprocal relation. But if an outside entity wanted to use it for hot yoga or whatever, maybe we can do something there. We could all be invited.
You got to start talking about the HVACs.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Anything else, guys? Okay, with that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned at 6:57.